You!
I walk around the floor-covered table and find more frosting on the floor. But wait. I bend down and swipe my finger across it. That's not frosting. It's blood.
Chapter 18. Ollie. A pack of kittens attack me just as I'm about to knock on the front door. Fucking shit. A few jump on my cargo shorts and start climbing up my chest. One attacks my feet and I jump away when it bites me on the big toe. Then another stands up on his hind legs and bats the air, like he's gonna take me down. God damn it, Five says, opening the door. I told those girls to keep these damn kittens out of the way. He grabs the two still clinging by one claw to my shirt and sets them down. You okay? I glance at Katya, who has her hand over her mouth, stifling a laugh. Fine, I say. I don't know where Louise and Matilda got off to this morning, Five says, but they've been missing for about an hour now. Should we go look for them? Kat asks, her face scrunched up in concern. Nah, Five says, waving off his worry and motioning us into the house at the same time. It's an island. And then he smiles, like all is right with the world. They're totally safe here. What trouble could they possibly be getting into? Probably not much, I conclude. This place is pretty amazing. I mean, shit, I wish I lived on an island like this. Would be great, huh, Kat? I squeeze her hand and she smiles. I could live here, she says. Just lie on the beach and soak up the sun all day? Of course, I'd burn like fuck. I'd have to take a boat to the nearest town regularly to buy crates of sunscreen. Where is the nearest town? I ask. Oh, Five considers this for a moment. Nassau is the biggest, couple hours by boat or about 30 minutes by plane, but there's a few small islands with villages between here and there we sometimes go to. Does Rory go? Kat asks. And the girls? No, Five says. They don't go anywhere local. Shit, people see Rory and the girls and they never forget them. Yeah, I say. My sister and nieces are pretty unforgettable. I can't take that chance. Five says, his voice suddenly serious. So where do they go? Kat asks. Like for a fun day out. Shit, Kat, I say, sensing what she's getting at. This place is fun enough. I have so many things I want to do here, it's crazy. And you know what? I ask her. What? She says, a little bit annoyed that I didn't let Five finish. I think we should do them all today. That'll be our date day. Hell, Five says. Is everyone doing that? Cindy has Mysterious on some crazy wild goose chase. Yeah, I say. I heard. Anyway, tell me where to take my beautiful wife-to-be today, Five. Hit me up with all the best spots. We're going to make the most of our last day as single people. You guys can take the scuba gear and the boathouse and hit the reef. It's not a huge reef, but it's cool. Lots of things to see down there. I look at Katya to see if she's interested. Sounds great, she says. Then what? I ask. I want to spend the entire day with her, just the two of us. Five thinks for a moment. Horseback riding? We have trails all over. Or dirt bikes. Oh, hey, Five says. We've got a speedboat on the marina, too. And jet skis. You can do all that if you want. We have a second smaller island on the east coast, and it's nothing but beach, Ollie. Like, nothing but a few palm trees for shade and the best white sand you can imagine. Yeah, that all sounds perfect. Anything else? He shoots me a crooked grin and then shakes his head. I got one other place, but I think I'll take Rory there and keep it a secret. We haven't been in a long time. If everyone else is having date day, we should too. Speaking of Rory, I say, where is she? Shit, Five sighs, rubbing a hand over his face. She's got Ming giving the twins tests today. What kind of tests? Katya asks. Private school entrance exams? Five huffs. Like this is just pissing him off. What? I ask. You're sending the girls off to private school? No, Five insists. They're not going anywhere. Rory is crazy if she thinks I'm sending my girls off to boarding school in Colorado. Colorado? I ask. Really? That would be cool, right? They'd love it there. And we're all there, Katya adds. That would really be great for them. Yeah, Five laughs. But it's not happening, so don't get excited. Hey, I gotta go check on some shit. Just help yourself to anything you want, Ollie. He claps me on the back. The keys to the boat and skis are down in the boathouse with the scuba gear, and the horses are in the stable. You still remember how to saddle a horse? Sure, I say, smiling at Katya. I wonder if she's ever been riding before. I wasn't into them as a kid, but I know everything there is to know about horses. Five grins, probably thinking about how Rory used to ride and show horses when they were kids. And grab some food from the kitchen. We've got all kinds of shit in there. Take some with you. Have a picnic on the beach. And then he leaves us there to sort things out. So what's first? I ask Kat. Scuba diving, dirt bikes, horseback riding, or boating? Let's start with the dirt bikes, Kat says, her face flushed with excitement. I've never ridden one before. Then we can get on the horses and ride them down to the beach, grab the scuba gear, and then end the day with a picnic on the sandy island. Perfect, I say, leaning down to kiss her. I just want her to be happy and forget the fact that she's got no family left. Well, that's not true. She's got me, and I've got a huge family. Plus, Mary Ellen Pax, and all the girls. I know we can't replace her sister and parents, but we can come in a close second best if I set things up right. So that's what I'm gonna do. Not make her forget her past, but replace it with something better. Hey, I say, my chest filling with love for this girl who decided to turn my world upside down. I have a better idea. I pull her close, my hand slipping up inside her tank top. Not here, she giggles. Then where? I ask. Back at the bungalow? No, she says, still laughing. I'm not a prude, Mr. Match, which makes me laugh because, no, she is most definitely not a prude. I don't need to be under the covers in the dark. We can do it anywhere but in your brother-in-law's house. How's that? Deal, I say, kissing her neck. Then we're going to do it all over this island today. And what better way to start the day than with sex on a bike? That's a promise I'm going to make you keep. She coos back, turning in my arms so she can kiss my chin. Her blue eyes stare up at me with trust. And I believe in that trust. I think I can make her happy, give her the best life, a life she never had before me. Ease the pain of losing everything and give her something brand new. I'll pack up breakfast and then we'll grab some real shoes from the house and see this island the way it's supposed to be seen. Every inch of it. Together.
Chapter 19. 5. I'm peeking out from behind a palm frond to assess the situation on the pool deck. Rory is standing out to the side biting her nails like she's nervous our babies might fail. Shit, if I was worried about that, I'd be all set. None of this sneaking around would be necessary, but there's no way our babies will fail this test. Gonna ace it for sure. Gonna get into any goddamn school they want, no doubt. Gonna want to move away and never come back. And for a moment, it's not the idea of them getting hurt that bothers me. It's the never coming back part. By choice. What if they go out there and fall in love with it? Make all kinds of new friends, and Jesus, soon they'll be wanting boyfriends, and then jobs, and then college, and marriage, and... Fuck that. I can't deal. They're just babies. My little princesses. How in the world did Spencer Shrike ever let his girls grow up? I can't imagine it. Not even a little bit. I look at Rory and realize she is the spitting image of her mother when she was younger. Bombshells, both of them. And then I glance at my two girls, sitting under the palapa, pencils in hand, furiously writing, and understand what growing up really means. They will be bombshells too. They will be beautiful and alluring, and men will fall in love with them. The same way Spencer fell in love with Veronica, and I fell in love with Rory. But it's different. I'm my father's son, which means I'm one of us. Who will they fall in love with who can protect them the way I can? Who? There isn't a single worthy man on this planet, let alone two of them. And then I wonder the same thing about Louise and Matilda. Jesus Christ, what was I thinking bringing four princesses into this fucked up world? I need to stop this before it starts. I don't know what kind of future I want for them, other than to be safe. And for as long as they've been alive, this place, this island, it's been our haven, our sanctuary, our refuge, an oasis in the middle of turbulent global politics and secret shadow governments and assassins who don't have a name but a number. I need to convince Rory. That's what I need to do. I'm almost sure Mysterious is going to fuck up this job. He's a mess about something. Probably afraid to get married and give up his exciting life as mastermind fixer. I must laugh at that, because Oliver is not happy about that little matchup at all. If the Vance Shrike wedding falls apart before tomorrow, he'll probably celebrate. Point is, I can't trust Paxton to get the job done. I need to go right to the woman in charge herself. My wife. An evil Five Aston plan creeps into my mind. Date day. My wife, who is still worriedly looking at our twins as they test as she bites her nails, just needs to be reminded that I know best. And I do. But I need to get her alone. So I creep around the edge of the pool deck, being careful to stay hidden in the palm fronds, and when I'm right behind her, I stock up, wrap my hand around her face, cup it tightly over her mouth, and say, "Come with me, Queen. We've got a date planned." I take her hand and lead her away. She's still looking over her shoulder at the girls, but I tug a little and she turns back to me and smiles. "Where are we going?" "You'll see." We haven't been up this path in a long time, maybe almost a year, which makes me sad because we used to come up here at least once a week when we were younger, before kids and kitchen houses, when all we had was a little three-room house that wasn't even close to the palace I imagined giving her all growing up. But Rory never complained, ever. She loved our little house, and it's still standing. We mostly use it for storage now, but it was our only home for several years while the main house and outbuildings were being built. It took forever to get this island to the way it is now. Almost 10 years, because we did everything in stages and had to hire out locals from Nassau, transport them here, put them up in makeshift tent homes, and yeah, fucking hassle. She was a trooper through all of it. "I love you," I say, looking over at her. "I love you too," she says, smiling back at me. "No," I say. "I mean, you're everything to me, Rory. You and the girls. You're all I ever wanted or needed." I stop on the path, take her face in my hands and kiss her. Long, soft, our tongues doing that little dance we've perfected over the years. "I love you," I whisper it this time. "We're not people," she says, talking right into my mouth, her words flirting with my tongue. "We're made of moonlight and twinkling stars and the night." I laugh, remembering the night I told her that. Just a small, sad laugh. "We're perfectly matched. Your blue eyes and your brown ones," she says, finishing the promise we made to each other so long ago. "We're soulmates, Five Aston." "We are, Rory Aston." She smiles big when I call her that. She's not legally Mrs. Aston, but she's always been mine, so that's legal enough for me. "Come on," I say, reluctantly pulling away. "We've got a date with paradise." She knows where we're going. This path only leads one place, and that's our secret place. But when it comes into view, we both stop and look at it, like we've never seen it before. The waterfall is large by island standards, and it never seems to stop falling, ever. Like magic, it's always there for us when we come. Of course, it has to stop sometimes. It's made of rainwater and a pool at the top of the highest peak. But reality hides that little fact from us, so we refuse to believe it. It's not really water, just like we're not really people. It's magic. "We haven't been in here in a long time," Rory says, echoing my earlier thought. "No," I say. "We got busy, I guess. Forgot that magic lives here. But I want us to remember today." She slips her tank top over her head, her eyes burning with the same desire I remember from our first summer together after I told her everything. She unclasps her bra, and that falls down onto the path with her shirt. I don't need to stare at her breasts anymore. I see them all the time. They're a part of me now. So I stare at her eyes, because I can't ever know enough about what's behind those eyes. There is no memory that can replace the real thing when I look into her eyes. 5, she says, lifting up my shirt. I raise my arms and let her pull it over my head. She doesn't look at my chest. She looks right into my eyes, just like I did her. What? I ask, wanting her to speak so bad. I always want to hear her voice, even though I hear it every day, have heard it every way. Her eyes dart back and forth to each of mine, like she's searching for something, but she can't find it. What? I ask again. But she shakes her head, smiles. I love you. We jump into the pool of rainwater that never ends and go under. The water is clear. Not as clear as the ocean down below, but perfectly clear, like everything else in this place. She takes my hand while we're still under, and then kicks her feet to swim. I follow, clinging to her fingertips like I'll never let go. Like I can't ever get close enough, and she might slip away. We come up once, just long enough to grab a breath of air and smile at each other. And then, like we've done this millions of times throughout eternity, we duck back under the water, letting the force of the waterfall pound our backs and resurface inside the secret we've been hiding since we first found the magic here at the top of our personal paradise. She lets go of my hand, and I have to sigh, because I hate letting go. Even here, where no one and nothing can touch us. She places both hands on the flat, smooth slab of rock that reminds me so much of our rock along the spring behind Sparrow's house, it almost hurts, and lifts herself out of the water, dripping, her nipples peeking up from the coolness of the cave. I follow, and we stand there, the humidity enveloping us like a blanket, making our skin prickle until a chill runs up our bodies and we shiver together. God, I say, taking her face in my hands again. You're so beautiful. She lets out a long breath of air and says, fuck me. Gladly, I say, pulling on the button of her shorts. She wiggles her hips until I can pull them over. They are wet and stick to her skin, but every moment is delicious. I feel her thighs, the taut muscles in her legs, and then brush my fingertips along the back of her knees. Fuck me, she says again. Fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. She begins tugging on my shorts now, too. The button, the zipper. She tugs them down my legs, hard, impatient, desperate. After all these years, she is still desperate for me. I lift her up and she wraps her arms and legs around me, hugs me with every part of herself. When I sit down on the flat, smooth rock, I'm already inside her. Her hips are already rocking, her fingertips running across my scalp, tousling my hair, my fingertips pinching her nipples, making her gasp. And I do exactly what she told me to do. I fuck her. But it's not fucking. It's love.
Chapter 20. Mac. Ellie is blindfolded. I had to convince her to come away with me. She was hell-bent on staying up at the house to wait for Five's twins to finish testing, but, well, I'm known for my creative ways into getting women to do what I want. Plus, she likes the blindfold game. We do it all the time. She stumbles a little as I lead her down the path to the marina. I got you, I say, and I do. She doesn't fall. Where are we going? Date day, remember? Oh, God. But she laughs, so I know she likes my little surprise. When we get to the dock, I help her up into Corporate's boat, which is called Hidden Treasure. Dumbass. And it's not even a boat. Fucking small yacht is what it is. I pull Ellie's blindfold down so she can see where we are. We're going somewhere? Not somewhere, Mrs. Perfect. We're going to have an adventure. Wes told me about some caves on an island nearby, and we're going to go explore them. She leans up on her tiptoes to kiss my lips. You're going to spelunk me? Yeah, I laugh with her. I'm going to spelunk the shit out of you. So just put on that bikini for the ride over. I waggle my eyebrows at her. Or not. More waggling. And relax. I got this, Eloise. Eloise, she snorts. You hardly ever call me that, and this is the second time in 2 days. What's up with you, Mr. Perfect? I like to surprise you, and I don't do it enough, so today should be a day of surprises. She slips her hands underneath my shirt and gazes up into my eyes. Maybe I don't like surprises. You do. Which is why our date day is going to be nothing but new things. A constant stream of new things. A cornucopia of fun and a whole lot of sexy times. Perfect, she coos. That's Mr. Perfect to you. She laughs and playfully pushes me away. I'm going to change. Make sure you ditch that shirt before I get back. Yeah, I decide, watching her ass wiggle as she hops down the steps to the lounge area. I'm going to remember this day, I think. An entire day alone with Ellie in paradise, doing shit we never do. Perfect indeed. I press start on corporate's nav system and then walk into the galley to see what he's got as far as drinks go. I spy a wine cooler under the counter and choose a bottle of champagne. Why not do it upright, right? And then grab 2 glasses from the cupboard and some grapes from the fridge. Mr. Perfect, Ellie says behind me, why are you still dressed? I turn around, opening my mouth to beg forgiveness, and then just let it hang there. She's not in a bikini. She's naked. You look delicious. What are you doing? She asks, eyeing the counter where all my delights are lined up. I hope you've got butter in there. I laugh, like, pretty loud, then whip my shirt off and walk over to her, my hands on her hips, but just briefly, because they want to wander over the curve of her ass. That was the best day ever, you know that? I don't know, she whispers into my neck as I pull her close. We've had some pretty good ones since then. Yeah, but you got to admit, butter was a sick idea. Sick? She says, feigning ignorance. As in, cool as fuck? Or as in, you're one twisted dude? Both, I say, chuckling. You blew my mind that day. In fact, you blow my mind every day, Mac, from the day I met you. I've been having fun. All the days? I ask, hitching up one eyebrow. Well, I missed you those couple of months we were apart while I was writing my book, but they were necessary, so I could figure things out. Like what? I ask. What did you figure out, Ellie? That you really are perfect. In every way. And I know I've been moody lately, and I'm sorry. I should appreciate you and all the good things in my life more, but it's just a little overwhelming. I didn't expect this, you know? Look at Ivy. What about her? Well, she and Nolan didn't even plan for a baby, and yet they have a simply adorable little girl now. I feel jealous. And then I feel guilty for feeling jealous because Ivy is one of my best friends, so I don't like it. Not at all. And I don't like the feeling that something I really want might be a monumental struggle to achieve. And hard work and determination won't be enough to overcome it. I want a baby, Mac. So bad it hurts. I can't explain it. And it probably doesn't make sense to you. It does, I say, brushing some hair away from her eyes. But the universe knows what it's doing, Ellie. Sometimes it likes to throw curveballs, make life a struggle, so you can come out the other end and appreciate it more than you did before. We just gotta trust that things will turn out the way they're supposed to. She rests her head on my chest and I hug her tight. I love you, she says. And I can't wait to be your missus tomorrow. We just stand like that, holding each other close and enjoying the moment. And then I pull away and lift her up. She wraps her arms and legs around me as I walk us outside into the sunshine and place her down on the deck of the boat and just look at her. She scissors her legs back and forth, blushing up at me. And then she opens them wide and says, "Down here, perfect. I need you right now, right here." As she taps her pussy with her fingertips. Jesus. My wife-to-be is fuck hot. "Come on," she urges. "Don't be shy." I laugh as I drop to my knees and crawl towards her. Then I reach for her knees, shoot her a devilish grin, and place both hands palms down on her thighs as I descend into her sweetness. Her back arches as I suck on her, flicking my tongue back and forth across her clit. "Mac," she moans. "Ellie," I whisper, making her arch her back again. She fists my hair, and I look up from between her legs and watch her as I lick and suck her into ecstasy. I want to touch her everywhere at once. I want my cock deep inside her. I want to fuck her hard and soft at the same time. I just want her forever. I pull back and she whines, "No." But then I'm kissing my way up her body, my lips fluttering against the smooth, tanned skin of her stomach. Both hands squeezing her breasts as I crawl up and press my hard dick into her. "Take these off," she says, tugging on my swim trunks. "But fuck that." As soon as they're down far enough to release my cock, I push into her, sweep my arms under her back and hold her close to me as I go deeper. She moans, her hands wrapping around my back, her fingernails digging into my shoulders, leaving marks that I can't wait to look at tomorrow, so I can remember this perfect day with my perfect wife. I prop myself up on my elbow so I can gaze down at her beautiful face, and then I go slow. I push into her deep and pull out, almost all the way out, until she grabs onto me just to make sure that doesn't happen. Her legs wrap around my waist, holding me there so I can't pull out. I look at her and we laugh together. God, I want to do everything with her. Everything. I lean down and kiss her nose, then each of her cheeks. I kiss one eye, then the other, her forehead. I start fucking her again, just slow this time, in and out, agonizingly slow, until she's lifting up her hips in a demand for more and thrusting against me. "You're gonna make me happy forever," she says, her voice low and throaty with desire. "Yes," I promise her. "Yes. And whatever happens, happens." "That's right, babe. We're gonna let fate take us, and no matter how much it throws at us, we're gonna come out the other side holding hands." She closes her eyes, bites her lip, and then we come together. We must have fallen asleep after that because we wake up to a boat horn blaring at us. I lift my head, shield my eyes from the sun, and catch people yelling and screaming as they go by. They're smiling and laughing and pointing, and that's when I realize we're still naked. I wave and slump back down, pulling Ellie to my chest. "You exhibitionist," she laughs. "Hey, I still have pants on." She slaps me on the shoulder and then turns around so she's on her stomach. "Is that the island?" It's only then that I realize the boat has stopped and we're just bobbing up and down in front of our destination. "Must be it," I say. "Should we stay here all day, fuck a little more, drink champagne and eat grapes? Or should we go on an adventure?" "I vote adventure." "Me too," I say. The perfect day must end in an adventure. Let's see, I say, looking through all corporate storage drawers. There's got to be flashlights somewhere. Are you sure this is safe? Ellie asks. Sure, I say. I really have no idea, but I'm not going to tell her that. Wes said he took Ethan and Tori on the way here, and Ethan loved it so much they're going to do it again on the way back. If Ethan can spelunk, we can too. I showed her a smile of confidence. I don't know. Ethan is like Tarzan. That kid can do anything athletic. I think about that for a second. He is kind of wild. Then I picture Tori spelunking. Tori did it too. And she's what I'd call high maintenance. You know, OMG, I might break a nail, kind of girl. Ellie scrunches up her face at me. I don't think you really know her. I wave that off. I actually can picture Tori spelunking, if only to prove to Weston that she can do it better than he can. We'll be fine. Hey, there's some people coming out. I'm going to go ask them what it's like. Sure, I say. Meet you down there. I find the flashlights, which are actually headlights. Leave it to fucking corporate to be prepared for an adventure. And then I hop onto the dock and walk towards Ellie, where she's talking to a couple in a boat. They take off before I get there, and Ellie is smiling again, so I figure they told her it was safe. So? I say. They say the entrance is just right over there. Then there's a red rope you follow into the cave so you don't get lost, and some steps and ladders and shit. And when you get to the top, you can see, like, the entire world. Sounds totally cool. I'm in. Perfect, I say, not even minding the pun. I take her hand and lead her away. Let's go. With any luck, we'll get to the top, climb back down, and be back on the boat fucking and drinking to watch the sunset. We walk through some tall grass towards a large, dark hole in the hillside. I guess that's it, I say. Looks like it. We're just passing through the entrance, looking for the guide rope, when a shooting pain has me slapping at my neck. Jesus fuck, I say. What the hell was that? What happened? Ellie asks, panicked. What's wrong? I think something just stung me. We both hear the buzzing at the same time and look up to see a swarm of bees, or wasps, or fucking horseflies, for all I know. Run, I say, pulling her inside the cave with me. We haul ass until it really gets too dark to see, and then we stop, panting and out of breath. Holy shit, Ellie says. Those people could have warned us about the damn bees. I think they were like mutant bees, Els. I have a huge lump on my neck. Let me see, she says, putting on her headlight and shining it on my wound. Ooh, is her only response. What, I ask. What's it look like? Ellie just stares at it, her eyes wide. Ellie, I say, is it bad? She nods her head and then says, no. I laugh. Even though the fucking sting hurts like hell, and I have to press my fingers into my skin to dull the pain. Which is it, Nurse Perfect? She cocks her head at me, and then her left eye does this little twitch, which is her tell that she's about to lie. It's just a little red, that's all, and swollen. And is that pus? Jesus. How could a bee sting get this bad so quick? Should we go back? Back? For a fucking bee sting? Nah, I say, shaking it off. It's fine. I'm not allergic. It'll be fine by the time we're done. Are you sure? Ellie says, giving my sting the stink eye. I'm sure, I say, pointing to the red guide rope. Look, there's the rope. Let's go spelunk the fuck out of this cave. Okay, Ellie says, if you're sure. I'm sure. I got this, babe. We walk a little farther in and then notice the ground is squishy. Is the whole thing wet? Ellie asks. Like, should we have on boots or something? I laugh it off. Boots, we're fine. Just a little seawater. This cave must have an outlet to the ocean, that's all. Okay, Ellie says as we go a little further until the water is up to our ankles. But I think I see things in that water. I follow her headlight beam down to my shoes and see. Holy fuck! I grab her and run, pulling her along behind me. Get on the rocks, quick, before those snakes get us. I lift her up and scramble up behind her, panting. What the hell? Those people couldn't mention this fucking cave is filled with snakes? What is this? Some kind of wild Indiana Jones adventure? Calm down, Mr. Fraidy Cat. I think they're just eels. Just eels, I say? Eels? The tide is coming in, Ellie says. Look. I'm afraid to look. Every time I look at what she's pointing at, something stupid happens. But I do anyway, because that's the kind of man I am. And sure as shit, there's waves crashing against the rocks. Where the fuck is all this water coming from? Like you said, there's some kind of ocean outlet, I bet. Well, that fucking tide had better be low when it's time to leave. I'm not swimming through eels. Ellie chuckles. Come on, there's the rope. We're in the right place, at least. We just go up these rock steps, and then there'll be a ladder to get to the top, right? Yeah, I say. Sure. But nothing those people told us has been even remotely accurate so far. So I'm not hopeful. Is this the steps? Ellie asks. I shine my headlight and see some giant stacked stones. You think? I ask her. I don't know. They just look like rocks to me, but that's the way the rope goes, so we better follow it. So we do. We climb up the steps, which are closely spaced for a while, but eventually they stop being stacked stones and turn into boulders, each one taller than the next, until I have to make a step with my hand and hoist Ellie up to the next one. When I follow her up, I'm out of breath and I'm getting a very bad feeling about this cave trip. Maybe we're not cut out for spelunking? I ask, laughing. Maybe not, Mr. We're going on an adventure today, but we're probably halfway up, don't you think? And I bet the tide hasn't even gone down yet, so we might as well go all the way. The next few boulders have rope ladders to get up them. Ellie shoots me a dubious look. Because you know what? Rope ladders aren't all that easy to use. I'll be right behind you, okay? I get another hesitant look from her. Looking at your ass, wishing we were back on the boat, fucking and getting drunk. She looks up. There's like a teeny tiny light up there. Is that the top, you think? Yep. I say with as much confidence as I can muster. And the whole time we're doing this, I'm picturing 8-year-old Ethan. Tarzan is right. How the fuck did that kid do this? Even with Torian West's help. Come on, I think there's like an opening up there so we can rest for a minute before we do the final ascent. The remaining steps, which makes me want to punch those people on the dock at this point because these things are giant boulders, not steps. Are like 8 feet tall, and one of them has no rope ladder at all. Ellie shines her headlight around until she finds remnants of rope and sighs. We're not going to make it, Mac. We'll have to climb down after all, I guess. Fuck that, I say. I didn't get stung by a killer hornet, wade through a pit of snakes, and then climb up Mount fucking Everest for nothing. We're going to get to the top and see the goddamn world if it's the last thing I do. Get on my back, I say, crouching down. Then grab that stump right there and hold on while I stand up. Then you can stand on my shoulders, and I'll push you the rest of the way up. How will you get up? I sigh and look back at the rope remnants. I'll throw that up to you. You tie it off on something, and then I'll climb up that way. Jesus. Is it really worth all this? I mean, how great can that view be? It's motherfucking spectacular, and we're going to enjoy it before we descend back into the evil pit of darkness. She laughs. You've never even seen it. Doesn't matter. We're going to spelunk the shit out of this cave. If Ethan can do it, we can do it. We're adults, for fuck's sake. He's like a midget. Now get on my back. She does. And she balances on my shoulders when I stand up. But she kicks my sting by whatever the fuck it is, and I feel something ooze out of it. I don't even want to think about that. So I just grab her ass and push her the rest of the way. She scrambles over the edge, then I throw the rope up, and after what seems like for fucking ever, she says, "Okay, it's secure." I'd like to say I'm a great rope climber, but fuck it. I'm not, but I make it. And then we're in the opening, and the top is right above us. "I hate to tell you this," Ellie says, laughing. "What now?" "That's not a ladder." I look at where her headlight is pointing, and nope, sure fucking isn't. It's just a rope with knots in it. Like the kind of thing you see hanging off a tree limb that's used to swing over a body of water. "Shit," I say. "And I think we've been in here a long time," Ellie says, "because I think the light from the outside is fading." I check my watch. 5 hours. "You have got to be kidding me." Ellie just laughs. And hell, what else can you do? I laugh too. That last climb is torture, but she's doing okay in front of me, and I actually do have a great view of her ass, so I just go with it. We're about 6 feet from the opening when I smell something rancid. "What the hell is that smell?" Ellie asks. "I don't know, but it's rank, right?" "Horrible." And that's when the bats attack. At this point, we're just like, fuck it. We laugh the rest of the way up, swatting the bats away as they flutter around us. Ellie screams, "They're going to get in my hair!" Because that's what everyone says when bats show up. And then we laugh harder. We pull ourselves up out of that cave, and I vow, as we collapse into the tall grass at the top of the island, that never will I ever spelunk again. That's when we see the kid staring down at us like we're crazy freaks as he opens his mouth and a sucker falls out. "Mommy, it's a cave monster!" And then he runs away screaming. "What the hell?" Ellie says. "How the hell did that kid get up here?" We stand up, walk over a ridge, smelling like we just came out of a, well, bat cave, and see about 2 dozen people milling about taking pictures of the low-hanging sun. "Look," Ellie says, pointing at a sign. "Cave trail," I say, reading the sign. "And it's paved. It's a goddamned sidewalk. And when we go over to it and look down, we see a nice, easy path filled with tourists making their way up to the top of the island." We just laugh and laugh and laugh. I take her hand and lead her over to the edge of the cliff, and we sink into the grass and watch the sun as it sits on the top of the water, blanketing it with a cone of orange and red and yellow. Ellie sighs and says, "Some things are worth the struggle, you know?" And I say, "Yeah," as I give her hand a squeeze. "Some things are."
Chapter 21. Nolan. So this is how it went. I said, okay. Because it's a tiny fucking pig, right? And even though there's a ton of big pigs, the girls were right. The big pigs aren't interested in the little pig. The little pig is definitely gonna die. So I'm all busting into gonna save the pig mode and shit, walking out on the beach, taking cover behind palm trees when I can, sneaking up on the thing, and just as I'm about to grab it, the big daddy pig sees me. And in that same moment, both girls start screaming, "Run!" I'm like, shit. Fucking pigs can run fast. I never knew that, and halfway into that thought, I'm turning, and my feet are doing their thing, and then all pig hell breaks loose. There's no longer one big daddy pig, but like 11 of them, all chasing me down the beach, and then I see 5 girls climbing up these palm trees like a couple of goddamn monkeys. You know how they shimmy up a palm tree? Anyway, they got up into trees like they've done this a million times and no big deal. But me? I don't know how to shimmy up a fucking palm tree, so I gotta keep running for the next tree, which is normal and actually has branches. And that big daddy pig took my shoe on my way up. Took my motherfucking shoe. So now, I'm down a shoe, I'm stuck in a tree, and a dozen giant pigs are rooting around at the bottom like they're just gonna wait me out. I think I've heard that pigs eat people. Hey, I call to the girls. Do pigs eat people? They just laugh at me, from the safety of their palm trees, where there are no pigs waiting them out. So I yell, hey, how long will they stay? And then Matilda and Louise exchange sneaky little grins. You've seen it before, when one person looks at another person and they have some kind of secret conversation in their minds. And then Louise nods and Matilda nods, and then they both start knocking coconuts off the trees, which scares the pigs and makes them go investigate. And then Matilda yells, run! And I'm like, fuck that. I'm staying right here in my goddamn tree. Not to mention I can't leave them here. Fucking Five will shoot my ass if I get his girls killed by rabid pigs. So I yell, no! Which does nothing for the situation at all. Matilda yells, you run and then throw rocks at them from the other direction. We'll escape when they go investigate. I hesitate. Louise says, we do this every day, romantic. Man up and do your job. Really? She's like 5 years old. They let them run wild with insane pigs all day? Go! Matilda yells again. Louise is still knocking coconuts off her tree, so the whole gang of pigs is busy, so I mutter, fuck it, and jump down, kicking off my other shoe, because what the fuck good is one shoe anyway, and then I look around for some rocks and start throwing them the other direction, and sure enough, the herd of pigs takes off to go check shit out. Then, like that, in a snap, Louise and Matilda are scrambling back down their respective palm trees, and they burst into the jungle where I'm waiting, laughing like, well, fucking kids. That was not cool, I say, in my brand new stern dad voice. I'm not very good at that voice because Bronte is only 6 months old, so I haven't had a chance to really use it yet, so they just keep laughing. Come on. We're going back to your house, and I'm telling your father on you. They snicker even harder now. What? I ask, turning around.
You have to get us that pig.
Yeah, Louise says.
You didn't get our pig yet.
Your dad is going to kill me if I get you killed by pigs. Pfft, Matilda says.
Our dad is never going to know.
Yeah,
Louise adds, because you're never going to tell him.
Somehow, she's got that pointy stick in her hand again, and she thrusts it towards me like she's going to take me out with it.
And we did tell you to run,
Matilda says, like this makes everything okay. While they were charging me, I say, as if I couldn't figure that out, and don't point that stick at me.
We're just going to have to go to Plan B, okay?
Matilda says, like this is obvious. I sneer at them. Little miscreants.
What's Plan B? We lure them away with food and then take the baby pig when they're busy eating.
Why didn't we do that first? I ask. So much better than run out there and grab him.
Because we wanted to watch you run, Louise says. That's not why,
Matilda says, shooting her sister a look that says, shut up. Because she knows I'm about to bail on the whole stupid plan.
It's because we have to smear mud all over our bodies so they can't smell us when we leave the food. And we didn't think you'd want to take a mud bath, so Plan A had to come first.
I think about this. I'm not very excited about smearing mud all over my body, that's for sure. So, yeah, I probably would have said no before I realized these pigs are more like an L.A. street gang than some harmless tropical oddities this part of the Bahamas is famous for.
Come on, Nolan,
Louise says, doing that pouty thing.
Yeah, Matilda says. We're gonna help you, we promise.
I look up at the sun. It's gotta be noon already.
I just want to spend some time with my wife and learn how to be a better dad to a girl. That's all. I know exactly how you can do that, Matilda says. How? You gotta get us that pig first, Louise adds. Then, we help you. I sigh. Because I just really want to make this day special for Ivy, and I've got no ideas on how to do that, so fuck it. What do we feed the pigs? They both clap their hands and jump up and down. Fruit, Louise says. Yeah, we just go pick bananas and mangoes and put them in a pile. They'll come running, they always do. But first, we roll in the mud, Louise says. But she's got a little glint in her eye that makes me suspicious. And then we feed them the fruit and steal the baby pig just like that. They won't let the little pig eat, Matilda says. So they'll leave it alone. And you can go in and get it. We'll watch your back, Louise chirps. And we'll have rocks to throw to distract them this time if they go after you. Fine, I sigh. But I'm spending 1 hour on this, and that's it. One. Then I'm gone. I can't waste this day. I just want to spend some time with my wife. Deal, they both say, spitting on their hands and holding them out for me to shake. Jesus. I spit on mine and shake them. Five's girls are not the little princesses I imagined them to be. Then we go trekking through the jungle, looking for fruit. I try not to look at the sun, knowing that more than an hour has already passed by the time we collect enough fruit to feed a gang of pigs, but I can't help it. My perfect day is wasting away. Okay, Matilda says, leading me up to the mud puddle. This is where the pigs roll. So all we gotta do is roll in the mud until we're covered, then sit in the sun for a minute to let it dry, and then we'll go get that baby pig. I give up. There's just no fighting these girls. They want that stupid pig, and they're not letting me off the hook until we get it. Louise goes first. She's all too eager to get into that goop. And a minute later, she's covered and smells like, well, pig shit, if I'm being honest. Matilda goes next, and then it's my turn. What the fuck am I doing? I mumble, dropping to my knees and lying back in the thick, disgusting slop.
You're making sure you have the perfect date for your wife, romantic, Matilda says.
I glare at her, and then Louise splashes me with mud until I'm covered and I'm sure, like 100% positive, that my date is never happening. I'm a total failure at this date day thing. And I bet all the other guys are having the best time ever. And it was my idea. Fuckers. Okay, Louise says, standing back to look at me. She smiles, blasting me with that adorable gap that used to be her front teeth.
You're ready. Let's do this,
Matilda says, picking up her pointy stick. I follow them back to the beach, hoping, praying, that the pigs will be gone. On a whole other island, maybe. Or swimming in the ocean. So we can just stop this stupid plan before it goes off the rails. But no such luck. They are all snorting around on the shore, looking for crabs or something.
There he is!
Louise squeals. Matilda hushes her with a well-placed hand over her mouth and says,
Okay, romantic, you go down that way and wait. We'll lure them away with the food and then run. And while we're doing that, you grab that pig and meet us back here. Got it?
It sounds so simple. I mean, I know it's crazy, but she makes it sound so simple. So I just go, okay, and stalk my way down where she was just pointing. They take off in the jungle, leaving me alone, and part of me wonders how the hell I let two small girls talk me into such a crazy plan in the first place. But I'm here now, covered in stinking pig shit. I'm pretty sure that wasn't mud. And that little pig is only about 20 yards away. That's when I hear Louise calling out from the other end of the beach,
Here, piggy, piggy, piggy! Here, piggy, piggy, piggy!
She's nuts. Then Matilda throws bananas and mangoes at the bigger pigs, who turn, snorting and huffing, toward their attacker.
I wince, expecting a full-fledged charge to happen next, but then they just walk calmly over to the bouncing fruit and start eating. The whole gang of them. The little pig tries to get in there, but one bigger pig gives it a kick and it goes reeling backwards with a squeal. Fuckers! They're hurting my baby pig! I glance down the beach where Matilda is waving at me to grab it and come out of the jungle looking like the Swamp Thing incarnate. I'm stalking up behind them, carefully, slowly, and as I'm holding my hand out for that little pig, it occurs to me I really should have brought some fruit with me so I could feed it. And that's when Louise yells, "Run!" Shit! There are at least 6 boars coming at me. I sprint to the piglet, scoop it up like a football, tuck it under my arm, and take off for our meeting place like I'm about to make the winning touchdown. "Look out!" Matilda says, and when I glance over to my left, I see that huge daddy pig is coming straight at me. I swerve, barely missing his teeth as he gnashes the air, and then get hit with a rock. "Ow!" I yell. "Motherfucker, watch where you're throwing those things!" "Sorry," Louise calls from down the beach just as another rock pelts me in the ear. But that daddy pig isn't giving up so easy. He's right behind me now, and then I see Matilda up in front hiding in the jungle with her arms out like she wants me to toss the pig to her so she can take it over the goal line. And I don't know what I'm thinking, but I do it. I fucking throw the pig, and it goes sailing through the air, squealing and twisting, and then she catches him. That's when I trip and fall, and get trampled by Daddy Pig, as he takes off into the jungle after Matilda. I shake it off and get up running because I know that injury won't hit me until later anyway, and there's no way I'm walking back into Five's place with the news of his daughter's demise from Pig. So I take off after them, scooping up rocks as I run, and find Daddy Pig snorting and howling as he stalks up to Matilda and her piglet. "Yeah!" comes from off to my right. And that would be crazy-ass Louise, spear in hand, as she charges the pig at full speed. She throws her spear, which hits the boar in his side, but of course, it's a fucking stick and not a spear, so it bounces right off his thick hide. Jesus Christ, we're all gonna die if I don't get this shit handled quick. So I handle it. I grab another rock, wind my arm up like I'm about to throw the last strike in Game 7 of the World Series, and hurl it as hard as I can right at that pig's head. It bounces off, too. And then for a second, I think that fucker's made of steel or something. But then the boar wobbles, his eyes crossing, and just falls over. "Is he dead?" I ask, panting out the words. "No," Matilda says, running at me. "Come on, we gotta go. He'll be up in a few seconds." So the three of us run, and we run hard. We run like kids. Like this is a game we're playing, and we just won. And we laugh. Even the little pig laughs. We laugh like this is the best day of our collective lives. Because it might be. It just might be. I don't even argue when Matilda tells me to stand still while she hoses me off. Of course, I need to be hosed off. I rolled around in pig muck. And my consolation prize is that I get to hose them off afterward. And the pig goes squealing away into the bushes, setting off a wild pig hunt that is almost, not quite, but almost, as exciting as the first one. When we're done with that and we're lying on the grass in front of their princess palace, I sigh and realize the day is gone. My big plans for today are bust, I think. "No," Louise says, propping herself up on her elbow. "We're just getting started, Nolan. You gotta go home, shower, change, and then bring your wife and baby back here. Leave it to us. We'll take care of everything." I shoot her the stink eye. The whole point of date day was to have time alone. "Leave it to us," Matilda says. "Seriously. You know," Louise says, "everything would go a lot faster if you just gave in and did what you were told." And then they snicker, like that's a fantastic joke. "Would it?" I say, wondering.
My mommy tells my daddy that all the time, Louise says. She always wins, Matilda.